Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful song, Tom. That was. We're talking about things of the heart. Yeah, things that aren't always apparent to our minds and in our everyday life, but things of the heart is what God looks at, and that's what we'll be talking about this morning. Yes, it is 4th of July week. We celebrate things like national attitudes of patriotism. Long ago in our country, as America was approaching the later years of the 1800s, patriotism and feelings of national loyalty were felt to be kind of waning in our country. Patriotic fervor of the Civil War was kind of an old story by that time, in the 1890s. And it was like, what was the direction again for the country? It was a little bit undefined, a little bit uncertain. And the time was ripe for what people felt was a reawakening of good old simple Americanism. A number of individuals picked up this cause as something to push nationally. And the leaders of this movement felt that patriotic education was best met within the public school system of the nation. So they made a plan to coincide with the 400th anniversary of Christopher Columbus' discovering of the Western Hemisphere of America. They offered schools across the country flags for their Columbus Day celebrations. America's American flags were offered for the events, and it became a nationwide emphasis in 1892. That first year, some 25,000 schools got flags. Included with the flags and the ceremonies for that year, a Reverend Francis Bellamy wrote a simple Pledge of Allegiance for that celebration. After a couple of revisions, that Pledge of Allegiance was adopted by Congress, and in 1942 became our national pledge. And to this day, you're going to see American flags and the Pledge of Allegiance in our schools. Well, at that time, though, it's been long-lasting, but at the time, our country had a problem. Our national loyalty was undefined and becoming unnoticed. And many of us today kind of live with this feeling that things like patriotism, honor, loyalty seem to be waning in our own country. This morning, we're going to talk about loyalty. Now, there's all kinds of loyalty. We have customer loyalty. A lot of us are loyal cougs, and we have even dogs we call our loyal companions. So there's all kinds of loyalty, but today I want to talk about the need for a people to have in our inner person, in our inner heart, loyal hearts, and how God is looking for the same. We're going to look at some examples in the Bible and everyday life, and I pray that as we take a fresh look at our own inner man, and we would like to aspire to be people who are known for our loyal hearts. Okay, but first of all, before I go on, let me tell the rest of the story about the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, originally, the Pledge of Allegiance it was one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It didn't include the phrase one God, under God, excuse me. And so early on, it was felt by many people that including this phrase better reflected the real true nature of who we were as a country. This is particularly true as we started moving from the into the 30s and in the 40s. The growing national atheism of communist countries was a reason to set our country apart from these different nations. We were one nation under God. We weren't simply pledging allegiance to a flag or a governmental body or some landmass, but we were a different kind of a nation. And we should say so. Well, up until 1954, these efforts to include the phrase one nation under God were unsuccessful, though they tried time and time again. President Truman was kind of close to the idea. The story goes like this. During those times, it was kind of an honored tradition for presidents getting close to Lincoln's birthday to worship at the church that Lincoln worshiped at. It was New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. It's close by the White House, and President Abraham Lincoln and his wife Mary were faithful attenders of the church. They even had their own pew that they sat in. The family would come in. It was a very normal thing to see the Lincolns come up on a carriage. Sometimes they even walked. On a nice day, the presidential family would walk to church, and sometimes they'd meet friends, and they'd come in. And it was like normal church for those days. They'd come in. Oftentimes, the congregation would stand in respect. The Lincolns would sit in their pew, and everybody sat down. But any type of kind of an honored decorum was lost at the end, because the Lincolns would just chit-chat with everybody as church closed. And that was church. And as a side, too, the Reverend Phineas Gurley was the pastor at that time and really became the Lincolns' pastor. He was the one they looked to when their son Willie died at the age of 11. It was almost drove Mary Lincoln to insanity. It was a horrible time for them. And Pastor Gurley was there with them as Willie died. And when President Lincoln was assassinated, the first one Mary Lincoln called for was their pastor. So, anyways, it was their church. So here was, 1954, President Eisenhower was sitting in Lincoln's pew. And the pastor gave a sermon based on the Gettysburg Address titled, A New Birth of Freedom. And in that sermon, his main argument was that the nation's power was not in military might, but there was a higher calling, a higher spirit, a higher purpose to this nation. And he noted that the pledge really could kind of represent any nation. And that there was something missing in that pledge. And that thing that was missing was the characteristic and a definitive factor that of American way of life. And then he cited Lincoln's words in the Gettysburg Address when he said, one nation under God. He said that was a defining term for who we are as a people. Well, in 1954, President Eisenhower had only been baptized for a year. So essentially sitting there, can you imagine a guy, a high-ranking person, probably the most popular person in the world, chose at that time of his life to get baptized? Yeah, amen. Well, he responded to the, he was sitting there for the sermon, responded very enthusiastically, talked with the pastor for a long time afterward, and the next day, President Eisenhower set to put it right and include under God in our pledge. 4 months later, Congress passed the law amending it. And these were Eisenhower's words when they did that. Eisenhower said, from this day forward, the millions of our school children will daily proclaim in every city and town, every village and rural schoolhouse, the dedication of our nation and our people to the Almighty. In this way, we are reaffirming the transcendence of religious faith in America's heritage and future. In this way, we shall constantly strengthen those spiritual weapons which forever will be our country's most powerful resource in peace or in war. Now, that was significant. The man who led the Allied forces in Europe, one of the most powerful military men of that time who had ever lived, said that the most powerful resource of our country in times of peace or in times of war were the spiritual weapons of the Almighty. Wow. Powerful time in our country. Loyalty was waning, but I'll tell you what, loyalty was being strengthened in a daily basis in our country. So what is loyalty? What are we talking about? A definition would be giving or showing firm and constant support or allegiance to a person, institution, cause, or custom. It struck me when we read in the Old Testament, we read about King Amaziah, and Chronicles says this, and he did, King Amaziah, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. I've always been struck by that. It's like, so what is it? Something was going on in the inner man that God saw that was affecting everything else he did. Now, on the outside, King Amaziah was doing a lot of right things. But on the inside, there was something lacking. And that was the issue. In 2 Chronicles, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That's powerful. We often talk in this church, since we're a worshiping church, that God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. He's also seeking to and fro, looking for those who have hearts loyal to him, and he wants to show himself strong. God is looking for loyalty. Well, currently in the news, we have the issue of Edward Snowden. You're watching that? He was a consultant hired by the National Security Agency who leaked classified information regarding mass surveillance activities by the U.S. and British governments. Surveillance over, well, over us. Some people call him a traitor. Some people call him a hero. According to a Gallup poll conducted about 3 weeks ago, 44% of Americans thought it was right for Snowden to share the information with the press, while 42% thought that he was wrong. Kind of split on that in this nation. What was he? Well, the fact is, though, Snowden's security clearance with the NSA gave an assumption. It was assumed. His loyalty was assumed when they gave him that security clearance. You don't get those security clearances easy. My brother, because he worked on Air Force One with Boeing, he has top security clearance as far as a civilian. He's able to go places where the president will be, you know, so he has access to those things. And so, and he renewed it before he retired, so we're trying to figure out some way of maybe he can get us in some kind of a tour. I have a brother-in-law, Carol's sister's husband, has worked for the NSA for 30 years. We have never been able to know what he does. He has never told his wife, any of his children, any of his relatives, what he does for work. You can't even drive where he works. If you drive off the freeway to go where he drives, you will be stopped by a policeman and you will go no further. He is loyal and his loyalty is assumed. But how does that pertain to us? It was assumed, and because of that inner loyalty that was assumed, he was given access to secrets. So how does that pertain to people of us today? Remember, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Does God see loyal hearts in us? Will he show us his secrets? Is our loyalty assumed? You know, we can do things right on the outside. We do everything right. But God sees us in the heart. Draw us a little closer. We want to know your heart. We want to know your heart. Well, I believe that loyalty begins, first of all, with a loyalty to God and his purposes. Everything else stems from that. You can't be loyal to a cause, can't be loyal to the nation, can't be rightly loyal to an individual without, first of all, the foundation is your loyalty to God and in his purposes. Every day in Pullman Christian School, we do say the Pledge of Allegiance, along with these two other pledges. They also say, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. They say another pledge, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. If anything, we can instill beyond just loyalty and allegiance to our nation, we need to instill in our children, first of all, a loyalty to God, what his purpose is, and his word. So are we loyal to what God wants, and are we being loyal to his purposes? An example is the Bible is David. We all think of David as a loyal person. Through all the years that Saul was chasing after him, he never wanted to touch the Lord's anointed. Even though Saul was trying to kill him, he felt that unless God was going to change the matter, he wasn't going to think that he needed to be the one to dictate how things ought to be. This is how I think. See, this isn't fair. This is how things ought to be. Even though Saul was a poor king, he was king. David had a loyal heart. I want to talk about Joab. Joab was a loyal. I think he gets a bum rap a lot of times. I think Joab remained loyal to David throughout some real trying times. David numbered the people against what God wished. Joab was against that. You know, he saw though David's insistence and saw the consequences on the nation. He stayed loyal to David. David got into the affair with Bathsheba and ended up ordering the killing of her husband, Uriah the Hittite, to hide up his sin, to hide his sin. Joab saw that. Joab walked through that. That couldn't have sat easy with him. He stayed loyal to David. Absalom, the rebellion of Absalom. The whole nation seemed to be going after Absalom. Few people stayed with David, but Joab stayed. Then when it came down to who was going to succeed David as king, Joab supported Adonijah and not Solomon, who ended up becoming king. And that was his final downfall. And I thought, well, come on. At least he just made a mistake, you know? But can you blame Joab? You know, if we look at who Joab was a fighter. He was a killer. On behalf of the nation, he was a vicious person. You didn't mess with Joab. Remember when he was chasing, when Asahel was chasing down Amasa, and he looks back and he goes, hey, listen, you quit chasing me. If I do anything to you, I've got to answer to Joab. Everybody knew. You didn't want to answer to Joab. Joab was a vicious man. But I can imagine when the whole thing with Bathsheba took place and Uriah the Hittite was killed. Wow. Can you see that? How that might not have sat too well with Joab. Here's Uriah, a fighting man, listed in Scripture as one of David's mighty men. He himself was loyal. When David tried to hide the whole affair and had Uriah come to Jerusalem and try to get him to spend time with his wife to maybe cover up his sin and his adultery, Uriah didn't take it. He wouldn't go and spend time with his wife. He said, listen, how am I supposed to go spend time with my wife when the army of Israel is camping out on the ground? I said, I can't do that. So he goes back. He goes back to the battle. And you can imagine all of his buddies go, well, hey, you have fun time at home? And he goes, no, I didn't go home at all. I slept in honor of you guys. I slept on the ground too. Ho-ho! You can see his buddies are going, you the man! High-fiving, you know, chest bump, you know, headbutt. I don't know whatever they did. You know, this guy was the man. He was loyal to us. He is loyal through and through. And Joab saw that and just said, my gosh, I've got to order that guy to be killed. You think that doesn't just sit in Joab's craw? And then he sees Bathsheba, and there's that woman. And then he sees Solomon, all the years Solomon's growing up. There's that kid. He's the son of that woman. He's even a soldier. He's a learned intellectual. He likes reading things and writing little poems, and he likes flowers and stuff like that. What kind of a guy is that? He's not king. This isn't right. Can you imagine that? Can you blame him? But what was God intending on doing? The whole phase of the next phase of the nation was building the glorious temple to the Lord, a center for worship where God's presence was going to be known and extolled throughout the whole earth. Come on, Joab. Can't you get a clue? Can you just look past some of this stuff and jump on what God's doing? We're building a temple. And here's the guy that's been assigned to do it. He's the perfect guy for the job. With you supporting him, my gosh, your loyalty would just catapult him into being a more effective leader than ever. But Joab didn't. So, we can give all our excuses of why we think things are right, but God isn't looking for excuses, is he? He's looking for people with loyal hearts. Loyalty will be tested, but loyalty can be trusted. We look for loyalty in the church. In the church, there are those who have a loyal heart. I was going to give some examples of present-day people, and I had to find an example of someone in the news, a local guy that I thought was an expression of loyalty, because I have so many friends that express loyal hearts in their everyday lives. So how was I going to choose among them? But we have loyal hearts in the church. You need to look for those. We need to look for people with loyal hearts. They may not do everything right. You know, some of us do things that irritate each other. But you know what? When you have loyal hearts, you stick by those people. Well, they're there. They will be there when your back is against the wall. You want to follow leaders with a loyal heart. They won't be swayed by to and fro and be compromisers. You can trust their loyalty to you because you see their loyalty to God. You know, through all of our transition and the difficulties we've had as a church, I've seen advances, and I'm not loyal to them just because we're neighbors. You know, we share a lawn, so we share tools and stuff like that. And that isn't the foundation of the loyalty. My loyalty is because I've watched them day in and day out remain loyal to the things of God when it didn't always look great. All right? So are we loyal? Do we have hearts that are loyal? You can trust leaders with a loyal heart. Look for those with a loyal heart when you're looking for followers. In Chronicles it says, all these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. Things would have been very different on this than the whole of history here had not people with loyal hearts gathered them around themselves around David. What would have happened had that not been the case? But people with loyal hearts came to him. Hang out with loyal people with loyal hearts as your friends, because what you share amongst each other, how you talk amongst each other. In 1 Chronicles, it also says, now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. It says they strengthened themselves with him in the kingdom. It wasn't all up to David. They encouraged each other and grew with David. Okay? They grew to help make David all he could be. So you can imagine they strengthened themselves. As the Bible says, strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom. As they talk amongst each other, loyalty grows. And the leader is strengthened and becomes the best they can be. Let's have loyal hearts gather. Okay? If you're looking for a future spouse, for all you look for people with loyal hearts. It comes in handy in a marriage. So where are our loyalties? Well, you can tell our loyalties how we live our lives. Your loyalties will dictate your priorities. And conversely, then your priorities will reveal your loyalties. It shows. Our lives show it. You know, it isn't always unnoticed. It's kind of like when Pastor Carl used to talk about priorities, he would say, your priorities are what they are. Now, I'd try to give kind of excuses about how, you know, my family was really more important, my top priorities, wife and kids, and he's just saying, no, your priorities are what they are. Look at what you do, look at how you spend your time, and you're going to see your priorities. God's not looking for excuses. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So when it comes to loyalty, it kind of comes down to, we know what it is, we know how it is in our lives, we know whether we're operating on loyalty, and how does that come in the whole overall thing of what we're talking about? Well, there's two essential components that I see. One would be the cause, because you've got to be loyal to the cause or something. That's what the object of our loyalty. And then it's the heart, that's where the loyalty functions. So you've got the cause and you've got the human heart. Now either one can alter the other, whether it wanes or strengthens. You can have a great cause, worthwhile, but it'll falter and become undefined and become kind of nebulous if loyalty is lacking. You can have loyal people, but then they kind of lose interest if the cause is undefined. Conversely, though, a great cause, you can stir up loyalty in a people, all right, with a great cause. And when you start having loyal hearts welling up, that can take a good cause and step it up. So loyal hearts gathered around David. Let's see loyal hearts gather around what God is doing here in Pullman. All right? Let's see it flourish. So, to conclude the matter, God is looking for loyal hearts in his kingdom. Remember, in 2 Chronicles it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. What can God do here in Pullman? What can He do? At Living Faith Fellowship, here at our church, as He looks, as He seeks to and fro, and He finds loyal hearts. In our lives, in our jobs, in our families, in our church, let's all be an expression of who we are on the inside. Loyal hearts. Let us stand in loyalty, pledging our allegiance to the things of God, and let God look down and show Himself strong. Amen. Amen. So, as we go into this time of our national celebration, we celebrate things like loyalty and honor. Let's celebrate. This would be a time of celebrating our loyalty to the things of God. Let's pledge allegiance to those things that God would have. All right? As we lead the day, it's a great time of fellowship. We do not have church on Wednesday, so do a lot of fellowshiping after church today. Okay? And if you have any kind of a prayer need, there'll be people up here for praying for you. Please come up. Anything you want to talk about. They don't just pray just for healing. Come up for healing. They don't just pray for healing. Anything you want to talk about. They're great folks. And have prayer. Come, go out of here feeling like you're ready to be inspired, that you're ready to be a loyal individual who, wherever you go, you're strengthening those. You're talking loyal stuff with each other. As we walk and as we go about our week, let's rejoice as we pledge allegiance to the things of God. Amen.